Good morning, everyone. I'm Joel. Good morning. So our reading for today is from Nehemiah chapter 3. So please do open Nehemiah chapter 3. We'll be later on looking from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 9, till chapter 4, verse 23. But for the reading, we'll just read Nehemiah chapter 3. Eliasib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its door in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachor, men of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hazanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakosh, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshulam, son of Barakiah, the son of Meshabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Bana, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. The Jeshanah gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Pashea, and Meshulam, son of Besodeiah. They laid their beams and put its doors with their bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mishpah, Malathiah of Gibeon and Jothon of Meronoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Uziel, son of Haraya, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section, and Hanani, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Rapiah, son of Hur, ruler of the half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Adjoining this, Jediah, son of Harumapah, made repairs opposite his house, and Hattush, son of Hashpaniah, made repairs next to him. Milkijah, son of Harim, and Hashub, son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Halonesh, ruler of the half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. The valley gate was repaired by Hanun and the residents of Zanoah. They rebuilt it and put its door and its bolts and bars in place. They also repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. The dung gate was repaired by Malkijah, son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth Hakarem. He rebuilt it and put its doors with their bolts and bars in place. The fountain gate was repaired by Shalun, son of Kol-Hose, ruler of the district of Mizpah. He rebuilt it, roofing it over and putting its doors and bolts and bars in place. He also repaired the walls of the pool of Siloam by the king's garden as far as the steps going down from the city of David. Beyond him, Nehemiah, son of Hasbuk, ruler of the half-district of Beth-Zur, made repairs up to a point opposite the tomb of David, as far as the artificial pool and the house of the heroes. Next to him, the repairs were made by the Levites under Rehum, son of Bani. Beside him, Ashabias, ruler of half the district of Keilah, carried out repairs for his district. Next to him, the repairs were made by their fellow Levites under Binuif, son of Henadad, ruler of the other half district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezar, son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section from the point facing the ascent to the armory as far as the angle of the wall. Next to him, Baruch, son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section from the angle to the entrance of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Next to him, Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakosh, repaired another section from the entrance of Eliashib's house to the end of it. The repairs next to him were made by the priests from the surrounding region. Beyond them, Benjamin and Hashub made repairs in front of their house. And next to them, Azariah, son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, made repairs beside his house. Next to him, Binoi, son of Henadad, repaired another section from Azariah's house to the angle and the corner. And Palal, son of Uzai, worked opposite the angle and the tower projecting from the upper palace near the court of the guard. Next to him, Pedaiah, son of Parosh, and the temple servants living on the hill of Opel made repairs up to the point opposite the water gate towards the east and the projecting tower. Next to them, the men of Tekoa repaired another section from the great projecting tower to the wall of Opel. Above the host gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of their own house. Next to them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his house. Next to him, Shemaiah, son of Zechaniah, the guard at the east gate, made repairs. Next to him, Hananiah, son of Shelmiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalpa, repaired another section. Next to them, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, made repairs opposite his living quarters. Next to him, Malkijah, one of the goldsmiths, made repair as far as the house of the temple servants and the merchants, opposite the inspection gate and as far as the room above the corner, and between the room above the corner and the sheep gate, and the goldsmith and the merchants made repair. This is the word of the Lord. So keep your Bibles open, Nehemiah chapter 2. Let me pray before we start. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you're a God who preserves your church through your word and through your spirit. We pray that even today you would strengthen your church, that we would all continue to live for you in this world. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So in February 2022, Russian ground troops marched towards the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv. United States of America's intelligence said Russian army within a week would capture the Ukrainian capital. If you have followed the Russian-Ukrainian war, you would have known that to this day, Russia had not captured Kyiv. Ukraine were able to resist the enemy in February 2022. Ukraine continues to resist the enemy to this very day with the help of their allies. The weapons, the intelligence, among other support gained by Ukrainian President Zelensky from his allies were vital for Ukraine to resist the enemy nation. Ukraine continues to resist the enemy to this very day with the help of their allies. Today's Bible passage is from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 9, to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 23. In this Bible passage, God's people come under attack from the enemy. God's people went about resisting the enemy in a certain way to stand against the enemy's schemes. So the big idea we will be looking at today is, which will come on the screen, despite enemy's attacks, God's people worked side by side and prospered in their life with God. So firstly, we will look at the character of Nehemiah from chapter 2. So Nehemiah was one of God's people. So far in the book of Nehemiah, what we have seen is that Nehemiah was a believer who lived in the city of Susa in Persia. That's a modern-day Iran. However, he had a heart for God's work. God was gathering people in his promised land, Jerusalem. What did he do? He inquired his brothers who came from Jerusalem how God's work was going on. He heard bad reports. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, we saw the brothers said, "Those who are back in Jerusalem are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." Enemies were having easy access to attack God's people and to displace them from the promised land. Nehemiah was deeply saddened. The first thing he did was to pray. That was chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, we see Nehemiah goes to the Persian king and requests for favor to go to Jerusalem. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, if you look down, we can see Nehemiah has asked help from the Persian king for safe travel and for timber to make beams for the gates of citadel, which is like a strong tower to build by the temple, and for the city wall and for the residence he will occupy. So Nehemiah gets all that he wants from the Persian king. Nehemiah then in verse 9 says that, in verse 8 it says, "The gracious hand of my God was on me, and king granted my requests." So Nehemiah sees this as an answer to prayer. Then we come to today's passage, which is Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 9 onwards. Nehemiah has safely arrived in Jerusalem in verse 11. He has now stayed in Jerusalem for 3 days. Then in verse 13 we see, by night, Nehemiah says he went out through the valley gate towards the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which have been destroyed by fire. Verse 14, "Then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through." Verse 15, "So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate." Verse 16, "The officials did not know where I have gone or what I am doing, because as yet I have not said anything to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work." Then verse 17, Nehemiah says to other believers, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burnt with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. Nehemiah made it known to other believers that God was the one giving him favor to be involved in his work in Jerusalem. Other believers acknowledge and join hands with Nehemiah. Together, in verse 18, they got involved in God's work. So Nehemiah was an Old Testament believer. We are a New Testament believer in Jesus. However, the church is also a place where God is gathering people to one day establish them in the promised land. In churches also, there are work to be done, isn't it? No, there is children's work to be done, there is women's work to be done, there is men's work to be done, there is youth work to be done, there is invitation team that goes and meets people in our parish, there is finance work, there is admin work, there are teams that cater for church events. There are things to be done on Sundays. There are things to be done during the week. If you are a Christian and have been praying about things related to church, please do talk to the leaders of different teams. See how you can get involved in what's happening here in Dagenham. You could be someone who can be an encouragement like Nehemiah for God's work happening here. And then in verse 18, the believers were encouraged by Nehemiah, but the enemies were not happy that Nehemiah has turned up to help. We see that in verse 10 also, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official were very much disturbed that someone has come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. But also in verse 19, we see the enemies mocked and ridicule Nehemiah and other believers. "What is this you're doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" And Nehemiah answers in verse 20, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." Nehemiah did not give up on what he was doing once he was attacked by the enemy. Rather, he started working side by side with other believers. And that's what we will be looking at under our second heading. So God's people work next to one another. So we'll be looking at the chapter 3. So Christian work should not be like a Manchester United football team and its supporters, isn't it? Now, 11 players on the pitch, running themselves to exhaustion, and millions of other supporters following them at the stadium and in their living rooms, desperately need for exercise. But when it comes to God's work, every Christian believer is called to get in the pitch and get involved. Nehemiah 3 kind of gives a pattern for Christian church ministry. Chapter 3 highlights believers from different backgrounds working side by side at different gates. So if you see in the next slide, the gates means an entrance to the house or a building. The color is not very clear, but I think the yellow ones is the walls. If you can see there, the walls. But the gates in chapter 3, the ancient gates were connected to the thick, strong wall. Huge doors would have been placed at these gates. So a group of 20 or more strong men would have been needed to open the doors and let people from the city to go out if needed. And the city dwellers could also close the doors at the gates. The gates, along with the thick, strong walls, would act like a strong tower. So you could see the different doors on the walls, which is kind of like a brown color. The people within the city can be safe from external threats. So when the enemies attack you during war, or they try to steal things from within the city, these gates or doors and the walls will help the members in the city to stay safe from the enemies. That's what Nehemiah and other believers are trying to achieve in chapter 3. There are 10 different gates mentioned in this chapter. And as I read this chapter, you would have noticed the word next to comes constantly in chapter 3. So in verse 1, Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests went to work at the sheep gate. Next to the priests, we see the verse 2, the men of Jericho were working. And next to them, Zacho, son of Imri, were building. Then in verse 3, we have the fish gate. It is rebuilt by the sons of Hasana, and other believers work next to the sons of Hasana. Then we see in verse 6, we have Jeshana gate, or the old gate. In verse 13, we have the valley gate. Verse 14, we have the dung gate. Verse 15, we have the fountain gate. Verse 26, we have the water gate. And in verse 28, we have the horse gate. In verse 29, we have the east gate. And in verse 31, we have the inspection gate. But all around the walls, along the gates, believers were working next to each other in all these gates. And if you look at the kind of workers that were working, there were all kind of workers working there. So you have priests in verse 1, and then you have rulers in verses 12 to 19. You have women working in verse 12. There are craftsmen like goldsmith, perfume makers, and merchants in verses 8 and 32. There are Jews from other cities in verses 2, 5, and 7. Some believers were willing to do extra work, verses 11, 19, 21, 24, 27, and 30. Some did their work near their homes, 10, 23, 28, and 30. So you see, every believer was willing to work. Every believer played a part in this chapter. Everyone gets a mention in Nehemiah chapter 3. God's kingdom operates this way. God empowers each and every believer by the Holy Spirit. Everyone gets to play a part in God's story. Not that everyone does the same thing. We are gifted in different ways. But we are called to play a part. And we will all get a credit in God's promised land. We can all rejoice in what God allows us to do. We can all be grateful for what another believer gets to do next to us. This is what God wants to accomplish in the church through the Holy Spirit. For believers to work together side by side. Being involved in God's work, however, doesn't mean that we can avoid the enemy's attack. The Bible never promises that. And we also see that in Nehemiah chapter 4. As we move on to Nehemiah chapter 4, the believers come under the attack from the enemy. That's what we're going to look at in the next section. Enemies attack God's people. This is one of the things people think in the Western world. This is something I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about the church. I'm passionate about Jesus. I'm passionate about Christian ministry. I'm not like the atheist. I'm not like the agnostic. Forever, I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to follow him forever. That's what we think. And when we don't feel like it, we start to think, maybe this is not something for me. That's not how it works. We see in this passage, in a lot of ways, when the enemy attacks you, you will feel different things. And it's nothing to do with you. It's just because the church does have an enemy. We see in this passage that believers come under four different kinds of attack. We see in chapter 4, when we read verses 1 to 3, we initially see the enemy comes up with ridicule and mockery. So we move on to chapter 4, verse 1, where we see when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, we become angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their walls of stone." What do the believers do to keep going in the midst of the enemy's mockery? They turn to God in prayer for strength, that we see in verse 4 onwards. They pray, "Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face." So we rebuild the wall till all of it reached half of its height, for the people work with all their heart. Even amidst mockery and shame, the believers continue to rebuild. And then secondly, the enemy came against God's people with physical threats, which we see in verses 7 to 8. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Ammonites and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls have gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. This time, people of God prayed, but also posted a guard day and night to overcome physical threat. So from mockery, then it comes to physical attack. And thirdly, some people get discouraged with being involved in God's work. We see that in verse 10. We see that in verse 10, the people in Judah said, "The strength of our laborers are giving out. There is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild this wall." People are getting tired, looking at the amount of work to be done. They are no more joyful in doing what they do, but they still continue doing. And fourthly, there was intimidation and fear from the enemies, verse 11 and 12. Verse 11, "Our enemies said, 'Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. Verse 12, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. You got involved in gospel work with other believers. Now you are becoming a laughing stock among your friends and even among your family members. Maybe you're discouraged by the amount of work to be done in Christian ministry with no visible outcomes. Or you have been actively involved in Christian work for many years. But there are things in life that had not gone the way you want. You're starting to feel fearful thinking about the future. What is the way forward? Sometimes you might feel you have to keep a distance from other believers and make things work in your life. Surely that's not the formula for spiritual success. We see here in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13 to 23 onwards, that's not what Nehemiah and other believers did. They stayed together and they resisted the enemy. Nehemiah also talks about God. We see that in verse 20, Nehemiah assured the believers that God will fight for them in the battle. We also see in verse 15, God gets involved and he frustrates the enemy's plans. So we just need to be clear, when you become a Christian, we don't think it's like a fairy tale, me and my mighty Lord, we're going to be happy ever after. Every Christian believer will face an enemy. We will face mockery. We will face physical threats or discouragements or intimidation and threat that the enemy brings into our lives. When we come under attack, we don't need to give up our faith in God or stop what we are doing for our God. Serving God side by side and facing the enemy is the best way forward. We don't know whether Ukraine, with their allies, will win the battle against Russia. However, Christian believers work together knowing the victory against our enemy has already been won by Jesus on the cross. Enemy can cause us trouble, but he cannot stop Jesus from doing all that he desires to do in a believer's life. Jesus can transform us and our character to be more like Christ in the midst of all the attacks from the enemy. The enemy does not have the power to stop us inheriting all Jesus' promise. The enemy does not have the power to snatch us away from Jesus. Therefore, every Christian can have a level of confidence in the midst of the battle that victory is ours in Jesus Christ. In another part of the Bible, Apostle Paul says this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Let us stay together and let us keep going for our Lord. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for the people you have called us to live with and to walk with as we journey towards our promised land. Father, we pray that you would continue to help us as we work side by side. Thank you for all the believers that are working hard for your gospel here in our church. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to sustain us in our spiritual journey. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.